Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
This is Bill Rayner, back with you again as we face up to the paradox of global warming in Auckland. A run of heatwave weather followed by a massive storm that left many people without power and causing major beach erosion and flooding in many areas, particularly the Thames coastline, which was particularly badly hit. The weather bomb arrived at the same time as the supermoon and king tides at record levels. We had a family wedding at my sister's small farmlet at Pies Par near Tauranga, the old Rotorua Road, on New Year's Eve. My nephew Len, a Kiwi lad who lives in North Queensland, married Beck, a true blue Queenslander. In the ways of modern brides, full of romantic notions of exotic wedding venues, fuelled by the celebrity magazines as well as lively exposure on social media as benefits at current age, they decided it would be wonderful to have the nuptials on the family farm in New Zealand. A nice thought, but it's not a family farm in the country calendar, multi-generational sense of smiling acres in a colonial era homestead. A farm attached to a long prime running Angus cattle stud or 3,000 sheep and a helicopter or two. It's a 3-acre lifestyle block my sister bought about 12 years ago, well after the family had left home in Mount Maunganui and headed to Australia, as so many Kiwis are wont to do. A little bit scruffy, with one smaller house and tank water filled by a pump from a nearby creek, where she raises a few pigs and chickens and an occasional cow or sheep, as well as a lovely garden of considerable size. It's about 35 miles from Greyerton, I should say kilometres, and about 60 k's from Mount Maunganui, where the family used to live. As a wedding venue, a lovely thought, but a logistics nightmare, aligned with the fact that my sister is 74 with a gammy leg, among other ills. But you'll be well aware of the standard assurance, "Don't worry, Mum, we'll look after everything, you just sit down and relax." "Yeah, right," as the famous TUI ad says. The other lovely thought was to have the ceremony, very traditional, at 2 p.m. on the farm, and then drive to Mount Maunganui Beach for the wedding photographs, and then come back to sit-down reception and a marquee in the pig paddock, leaving the guests for polite social mingling, discourse and chit-chat, along with a few drinks for this quiet pre-reception interlude. Three immediate problems. Mount Maunganui on New Year's Eve is firstly not a good time or place to find accommodation for the visiting guests, particularly those flying in from Queensland. Fortunately, my son-in-law, being very Kiwi street smart, had booked a house at Welcome Bay for our family coming down from Auckland some months ago. And secondly, it is invariably not a scene of pristine tranquility, with rolling surf, shining sands and puffy clouds suitable for starry-eyed wedding photos. The usual iconic features are packed sunburnt bodies in varying degrees of nudity, rampant children, long-haired bronze surfers, thumping boomboxes and traffic jams, and later on an exciting element of drunken hoonery and flashing lights of police cars. And thirdly, most importantly, our family and guests, being good Kiwi rural folk or outback Queenslanders, aren't into long periods of polite social mingling, discourse and chit-chat, particularly in a tent on a hot summer's day with chilli bins full of cool beer and cold wine conveniently handy, let alone the odd bottle of Jim Beam that seemed to have arrived as emergency supplies for some of the guests of more refined taste and large motorcycles. 2 hours of polite social mingling, discourse and chit-chat had the potential to develop into a rousing party and sing-along featuring 10 guitars and waltzing Matilda and raucous renditions of good-natured Kiwi sheep jokes and Aussie convict jokes. This did not augur well for a lovely family wedding reception with friendly toasts and polite laughter and clapping. Fortunately, the arrival of the bride, used to the sunburnt vistas of North Queensland, when she came to New Zealand, it added a touch of understanding and realism to the plans. The trip to the beach was cancelled, and the lovely grove of trees and a stream near the farm that provided a wonderful photo venue. The only hiccup was Beck didn't realise it stayed so light until late in New Zealand in the summer, so the ceremony was put back an hour, but went off very well in spite of the protracted day. The other potential risk is the family tradition of having a pig roasted on a spit for such occasions, with varying degrees of success and failure over the years. The roasted pig also turned out to be cooked to perfection, and an interesting sidelight being the great but gruesome fun the young boys in attendance had with the detached roasted pig's head, beautifully crisped, and selfies and tormenting the small girls with it. The tensity that arose with several converted buses and a genuine Indian teepee also worked well, with the wet stormy weather that could have proved disastrous holding off until everyone was well on the way home. All in all, a wonderful day. with all the wedding stresses and pleasures you'll all be familiar with. A particularly special event as the several generations of extended and blended family from New Zealand and Australia were there, except my son Peter's family, who are in the United States in Cincinnati in Ohio. Rather poignant, it's highly likely the next major extended family gathering might feature me in the place of honour, now being the oldest in the family. But that's life, and hopefully a way off yet. And now a music break in honour of the Cosy Ewas Raucous Party that didn't happen at our wedding. 10 guitars, the elegant version from Engelbert Humperdinck.
Beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what you do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you know just where you are. Guitars are made for love, my band of men will always say. So give them all a pretty girl, and they will start to play. Beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what to do. Dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you know just where you are. Through the eyes of love you see a thousand stars. Oh, when you dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars.
Not quite the version here at the Breakfast Street pub in Brisbane, along with the tinkling of many glasses. We'll feature the Seeker in our other music slots in recognition of the strong bands of the Aussie-Kiwi social and family partnerships we all share. And living off the cuff skills a bit once again, as my good mate Matty Marinovich has a family funeral to attend to this morning. I'll comment on a few council issues that are in the air at the moment. You'll recall last time we were talking about the Kauri dieback disease that's inflicted a lot of the Kauri forests in the north, and particularly in the Waitakaris, which is causing considerable concern both to the community, the conservation community, and the council. The public, unfortunately, are not taking any notice. Recent reports say they're still visiting in large numbers and ignoring the notice that's been put on by the local iwi, the Māori Rahui, which is creating a considerable concern that the measures that have been taken to date just won't be effective enough. It is strange when you've got sort of signs up and warnings out that people just don't take notice. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, I guess, but in the nature of our tourism trade, a lot of the people are visitors who are unaware, one of the notices, because they're not on all paths, and secondly, have no knowledge at all of the Māori Rahui, which, of course, is a... not legally enforceable in any way. So the government, all bright and shiny and bushy-tailed, are looking very closely at the possibility of taking further restrictive measures because of the critical nature of protecting the colliery from eventual sort of disaster or bigger disaster than it is now. So please pay attention to this, and if you are involved in the Waitakere's in any shape or form, just take real care with where you go. In fact, probably don't go at all at this stage. I think it's inevitable that the whole park will be closed. It is critical for New Zealand that this iconic tree in particular just survives, and the scientists are given time to find out some way of at least ameliorating the problems we have at the moment. The other problem that's arisen in a similar way is that water quality. We've suddenly become very conscious as a nation of the quality of our streams and rivers and lakes, in many cases for good reason. In Auckland, it suddenly popped up again. There's a huge bill coming up for the improving the sewerage and stormwater connections of the inner city, which basically, as I understand it, from the old Auckland Council days, joined together, where the stormwater goes into the same pipes as the sewage. Of course, all that in the current sort of situation all goes out to the to Mangere and is treated out there. Something like a $7 billion cost to do this. And there's two issues that have arisen. One is who pays for this, because the feeling is among some councils on the fringe of the city that this is an old Auckland city residual problem. They should have done this years ago. Whereas the North Shore and I think Waitakere have already separated their sort of systems for the stormwater and the sewage some time back, and the systems are working very effectively. But the other critical issue that's arisen is probably part of the health and safety concept that is sort of sweeping New Zealand and our bureaucratic systems. In the Takapuna Beach, it was closed by the Surf Lifesaving Club. They now have a responsibility to look at the water quality and decide that it's safe to swim or not. And it turned out it was a false alarm. There was some stormwater coming down one of the stormwater drains onto Takapuna Beach that had been there for many, many years. My old auntie used to live in Ewan Street in Takapuna, and my mother and her used to go to the beach from the time they were about toddlers, and there's always sort of water, fresh water, storm water flowing onto the beach, and nobody was terribly concerned. But the local people, as George Wood, ex-mayor councillor George Wood, stated that on the shore in Takapuna, he always knew that after heavy rain, you just didn't, it wasn't a good idea to go swimming. Not so much, I suppose, it was part of the pollution, but also the water was all churned up with sand and bits of seaweed, and it really wasn't a pleasant experience. But so now we got this sort of reaction because this one sort of incident on Takapuna Beach, which turned out to be a mistake and just a continuation of a normal situation that's been around for some time. Mayor Phil Goff's appeared in the paper and has had a Herald editorial saying we must fix this. And you just wonder whether it's a little bit overcooked. I remember over the years, having lived in Auckland all my life and close to the water, that there was always, certainly in the city, you used to see the odd sort of bit of sewage floating by on the water. And then on the North Shore, I remember at Torpedo Bay, I think in the old North Shore Council days, a helicopter used to come by from time to time and take a sample of the water, and presumably it was tested, and if there was an issue, it was sort of little notice was put up, but it was never regarded as a particularly sort of health-threatening situation. So we have to take a little care. Of course, we have to protect our waterways, and particularly the ones that are so seriously impacted by the pollution and things in the countryside. But in the city, and of course, the other interesting thing, which would be an interesting political dynamic, is the early pollution notes of our harbour is the fact that a lot of it is road runoff, and the key identifiable factor was dog poop. The fact that the dog droppings on the pavements and roads got washed into the sea, and that was one of the sort of primary health concerns, plus all the other heavy metals and things that came off the road, the rubber off the tyres, etc. So if suddenly the council finds that a major indicator is still dog faeces, that's going to cause another sort of major political issue for the dog-loving community in Auckland. Of course, there's now great focus on people looking after their, picking up their dog droppings as they go around. But just on Sunday, my son managed to step in a rather large sort of bit of dog poo just when you're sitting down at one of the outside restaurants. So it's still there, and so I would say still a problem. The other thing I'd probably be interested to just mention is last time we talked about our issue with the Auckland Primary School's concert being priced out of using the town hall by Auckland Live, part of the regional facilities authority of Auckland Council. I believe this has come to a very satisfactory solution. As you're aware, the Grow Power, in fact, sent a letter to the mayor and to the council, and also a copy to Jim Mora on the National Radio, the panel program. We read it out, plus an interview with the principal of Howard Primary School, who was responsible for it, and she got a call that evening from Radio Live and had a meeting with them, and it's highly likely that a satisfactory sponsorship arrangement will be made. At the same time, I mean, the broader issue of the council's attitude toward charging for community facilities has come under immediate scrutiny because of this problem. I know through the Grey Power Association we have many links with community groups. We quite often sort of step in to help where they've been charged much increased rents, or the situation recently with the Takapuna Croquet Club were threatened by a bit of developer next door about the right to have their continuing lease on their property. So it's something that the senior community has to be very aware of. And I would say, if anybody's in a club that's having difficulty with council or on these issues, please get in touch with your local Grey Power. Many community groups are not familiar with the process, and of course, sounds a bit silly, but are getting older, and it's much more difficult to deal with council now than it ever used to be. So if you need any help, give Grey Power a call, because we've got people that are very familiar with the process without getting aggressive or angry about it. Just working your way through the labyrinth that's part of our modern council process. So we're very pleased to report that, and it just shows that Grey Power's got a bigger role in the community rather than just looking after the interests of older people in particular, although that, of course, is still a critical focus, and there is a real need. We'll talk about that after the music. But for a break, we'll have the Seekers with another song. You'll all know from your school days, or at least your children's school days, Morningtown Ride, Rockin', Rollin', Ridin'.
Bye.
it well. Every kids' choir in the country covered this song. It's one of their sort of regulars. I also had the great good fortune, recall one of my earlier programs I talked about when I went to Sydney to see the 50th anniversary of the Seekers, and you can imagine sort of a whole theatre full at the Theatre Royal, I think it was, of 70-year-old Australians with the Seekers. It was absolutely magnificent occasion, and it's one of the sort of major sort of music groups of our time. Flowing out of that, on back on council things again, one of the difficulties you have now with the council is the consultation process has got very, very inadequate, I suppose is the best term to use. There used to be a process which goes back right through the old council days where people who wanted to make a submission on the annual plan in particular would arrange with the council to come along to a series of meetings. They would present a written submission, so the councillors had some background as to what they're going to speak about, and then they would present. And okay, some things were picked up, most of them weren't. It was a very long process for the councillors, sometimes 3 or 4 days. But it was the way it was done, and it was democracy in action. Now, what's in fact has happened, the Auckland Council, in its sheer size, has moved away from this in the last couple of years. They have what they call a have-a-say process, where you go along to a local sort of hall, and Uncle Tom Cobley and all are there, and it's a bit like one of these whiteboard sessions where you sit down around a table with a councillor, if you're lucky, usually a staff member, and just to have a bit of a touchy-feely thing on the key issues that should be recorded. This was completely inadequate, and Grey Power has a 19-page submission, and we made a complaint to the council and did in fact have a full presentation to council through that, along with other major groups. But what's happened this year, to make it even worse, is the fact that the council's now advised that all the submissions basically have to be online. Now, this cuts out a whole lot of people, seniors in particular, our particular concern, but a whole lot of other people that haven't got computers or aren't familiar with the process to be able to make a submission. And the other problem is that the council local board submissions and things actually have a document which sets out 4 or 5 key points that they feel are relevant and want you to tick the boxes. And some of these are pretty unusual, like on our local Devonport Takapuna local board, they've got the provision of a dog exercising facility is one, a skateboard facility in Sunnynook is another. They've got talk about improving the cycle and walkway routes around the local board, and also the perennial one about the Lake Road problem, and that's about it. And of course, one of the issues that we do have on the in our particular area, which is common across all local boards, I would think, is the fact that the senior community groups are struggling. We just mentioned that before with the Takapuna Croquet Club, and there's no mention at all of providing support or extra facilities for the senior community. It's particularly poignant in the Devonport Takapuna local board, because the Takapuna RSA sort of went out of business and the council took over their premises up by the hospital and have actually employed, which is a community NGO, I suppose you'd call it, primarily tasked with looking after disabled people, and they've undertaken to take this and develop it as a youth centre for the whole North Shore at a cost of some point $4.5 million. So a similar facility needs to be developed to some extent for the senior communities. There are 5 senior citizens associations who all own their own premises or have them on a very cheap basis from the council, largely because many of them had their premises and they were blended into council facilities, and they're all struggling to maintain activities and keep up a dynamic membership. But that's not on the local board plan at all, so this is one thing that certainly in our local board, Grey Power North Shore, will be putting forward in a very, very strong case, which is absolutely critical that the seniors do get together. Because the younger people with their sort of computers and smartphones can put in submissions online at the flick of a button. So it's quite critical we go on to that. The other issue I think that I found a bit interesting this year with our local MP Maggie Barry wishing everybody sort of happy holidays. She has signs up around the place, basically, I suppose, sort of promoting her as a local MP and wishing you a happy holiday. And it's quite sad that Merry Christmas and New Year is fading out of our sort of vernacular for the what you might call, particularly the bureaucratic sort of element, away from the traditional Merry Christmas and the Happy New Year, which is not just a religious comment. It goes back 1,000 years to our early British and European sort of history. And as I said, not just religious. Some of the Christmas aspects are buried in the Yule traditions of the Druids back in the days of the British before the Romans came. So it's quite critical that we keep this part of our culture alive and not just roll over and ignore it as we move into a more multicultural, diverse situation. Well, that's it for today. It'll be an interesting new year as the brand new government gets back to work and hits its straps. Lots going on. We'll keep you posted. We'll wind up with the Seekers classic, The Carnival Is Over. No hidden meaning intended. I just like it. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Say goodbye. Tears are falling rain, for the carnival is over, we may never meet again. Like a drum, my heart is beating, and your kiss was sweet as
the joys of love are fleeting, for Piero and Columbine. Now the harp alive is calling, this will be
with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.